All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast, episode 28. As always, we are presented by WTP Sports, We the People Sports. Check them out on Twitter and online, WTPSports.com. It's November 15th, 2017. I am Pat Lane, along with Mike Langone. Mike's back. He's back this week. So welcome back, Mike. Glad to have you back.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're glad. We're glad that you're glad, and we're glad that you're here.
All right.
So, anyways, we got Celtics talk today. We got Patriots talk today. Celtics, by the way, are playing the Warriors tomorrow night, or if you're listening on Thursday, tonight, at home against the Warriors, 13-game win streak on the line, two best records in the NBA. Should be a hell of a lot of fun. So, we'll certainly get into that one. So, without further ado, let's get into it. I guess we'll start off with the lead story, man. The freaking Celtics, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They're just killing it right now.
13 in a row.
13 in a row. And like without Hayward, obviously, the whole time. They've had a game or two in there. I really say two games without Kyrie, because one of them, you know, he got hurt in the first quarter of one of them.
Yeah.
Then he missed the other one. You were without Horford for a few games there. One of those games was no Kyrie and no Horford. So, you know, they just keep winning, and you're just like, how the hell do they keep doing this?
Yeah, everything's coming together. Steve Kerr said it, they're the future of the East.
They really are. Yeah. I mean, shit, they're right now of the East, for God's sakes. I mean, everyone else in the East looks like they suck. Cleveland's playing like absolute trash, which, you know, we know that they'll turn it around eventually because they have LeBron. And LeBron, when it really matters, will play, and will play hard, and he'll get his team to play hard.
Yeah, because scoring 57 last week isn't playing hard.
Right. They won that game, did they not? Right?
They won that game.
I feel like he coasts for a lot of time. You know what I mean? Like, clearly that game he tried. And right. Not that he's not trying. I just feel like he coasts for a lot of the regular season because he just doesn't care. Because you get in the playoffs and it's like it doesn't matter what the rest of his team looks like because he's just so good and so dominant that he can beat you basically by himself.
I wonder if they'll trade IT.
I mean, it's not.
He should be back another month and a half or so, right? So, you know, they could trade him. I mean, they'll probably won't, but it's just hypothetically. But
it wouldn't be a bad move. I mean, but the only problem is he's a rental.
Well, yeah, but he's essentially a rental for them now.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is how much would you get back for him? He's coming off an injury, he's a rental. Yeah. It's like, you know, you don't know how much you're going to get back. Now, if he comes back in, say, early December, and he's playing pretty well, but you feel like you need help elsewhere, then maybe you trade him and try to get something for him because he's an expiring contract. But to me, if I'm Cleveland, I mean, I'm planning for life after LeBron.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that his contract is expiring because then I can wait until LeBron makes a decision to make a decision about IT.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, to me, it's like, all right, play. Plus, you got Love as the big guy. You got LeBron, and then you got IT. I think they're actually pretty well set up. If IT can play the way he played last year, which who knows if he can. I mean, you just don't know. After an injury like the injury he had, especially the type of player he is, you just don't know if he's going to be the same guy. He might be, but you just don't know for sure.
Well, I'm sure he won't be the same guy, but he'll still be a good player. I mean, That's a tough injury. He just has to change his style.
Right.
You know, and he doesn't have to play the style he did with the Celtics.
Right. Well, that's true because he has LeBron.
Right.
Right.
And LeBron's more of a facilitator, and, you know, Thomas can get open. He's a little quick guy, so.
Right. No, it's very true. He's not going to have to create his own shot as much.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think the Cavs are the competition in the East. They are the people you have to worry about. You know, I don't think Philly's there yet. I don't think Toronto. I mean, I still think they're okay, but I don't think they're great. I think Washington's kind of in that same boat where they're good, but they're not great. And so, really, the team that you really again, you don't know what Tatum's going to look like down the stretch. You don't know if he's going to hit that rookie wall. You don't know if Brown is going to hit, you know, a quote unquote rookie wall because he hasn't played as many minutes as he has this year. So, like, you don't know any of that stuff yet. It's very early in the season, but right now, 15 games in, you're like, holy crap, this team is good. And Dude, the fact that they have Tatum, they traded down from one, picked up what is probably going to be a lottery pick this year, and drafted the better player, it seems like, which is just like absolutely ridiculous that they were able to do that.
Yeah, it's unreal. I'm gonna kind of miss the lottery nights when they matter. But
well, they'll matter this year.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm saying like after this year.
After this year, it won't matter. Yeah. That's very true. That is very true. But you know, I think it'll matter a lot more when there'll be other days in June. Be a lot more days in June.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which would be nice. And we'll be back to that, kind of watching playoff basketball, and we'll actually have a chance. And what's funny is that I was talking to someone the other day, and we had talked about it with Adam Kaufman when he was on, I don't even know, three weeks ago or so, about how if the Hayward injury may actually help in the long term, because Tatum is going to actually play more minutes.
Yeah.
And so just to refresh your memory for those of you that don't remember what the conversation was, basically the idea is that because Hayward got hurt, it forces Tatum into a starting role, and Tatum is playing 25 to 30 minutes a night, which he would not be doing normally. He'd be playing probably 15 minutes a night if Hayward were healthy. What this allows Tatum to do is work on his game, understand the way the NBA plays, adjust his game to the NBA, and become a better NBA player, right? I firmly think, I mean, look, I think they can win tomorrow night against Golden State, but they're not a better team than Golden State, okay? They're not going to beat Golden State in a seven-game series. Like, that's not going to happen. It probably wasn't going to happen even with Hayward on the team.
Yeah, they're not a better team with Hayward.
Right. And so, you know, and so to me, I look at it and say, okay, next year, if Tatum can grow this year, right? And I feel like Tatum is already above where Brown was last year. So let's say Brown takes another leap. It looks like Brown's made a little bit of a leap, and you know, we could get into the specifics about Brown. I'm not super happy with, you know, his consistency. He's a little bit sporadic here and there, but for the most part, he's much better than he was last year. Tatum is like leaps and bounds better than Brown was last year, it seems like.
He doesn't seem like a rookie.
It's unbelievable, dude. He can get to the rim, and he's just poised around the basket. He's shooting incredibly well in the fourth quarter. And so he's that type of guy where you look at him and say, okay, if Brown can kind of take that next leap, so now Brown becomes an even better player than he is now, and then Tatum takes the next leap again, and now maybe he's better than even Brown is this year, and then you put Hayward into the starting lineup as well, and you also have probably a top five draft pick coming in, probably a big guy. I mean, like, that team then potentially could actually compete with Golden State in a seven-game series. You know, depending on what the young guys do and how they progress, but at least you're giving yourself a chance, I think. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, with Hayward in the lineup, I think Tatum takes a little bit longer to develop with Hayward in the lineup. Now Tatum's forced to kind of, you know, develop quickly because he has no choice. He's playing every night, and he's playing 25, 30 minutes a night. And so I just think, to me at least, that may end up working out in their benefit, which obviously it sucks, right? It sucks because everyone wants to see Hayward, and they'd be a better team with Hayward. I mean, that's obvious that they'd be a better team than they are now with Hayward in the starting lineup, because you'd still have Tatum, he'd just be coming off the bench, right? And so, fine. Clearly they'd be better with Hayward, but I think in the long term, it may actually end up benefiting them because Tatum and Brown kind of had to grow up early, earlier than we expected, at least, you know?
Yeah, and that's your core there the next 5 years. That's your starting five. It's Hayward, Brown, Tatum, Horford, and Kyrie.
And Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, are you kidding me? And and honestly, I'll put that up against pretty much any five in the NBA. You know, assuming that Brown and Tatum continue to progress the way they've been progressing, those guys are going to be superstars.
Yeah.
You know, and Tatum especially. I feel like Tatum's almost better than Jaylen Brown. I feel like he's just so polished. He's got a really good offensive game. Mm-hmm. He plays hard defensively. I mean, they come up with tons of steals, and they're working their ass off on the glass. And, you know, I mean, they're just, man, they're scary good, and they're really fun to watch, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, they're not the scrappy team like they were last year, but
No, but they're better than
But they're them. Better, yeah.
Right. And not only yeah. that, but they have that same kind of scrap mentality.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do.
You know? And yeah. and they just have more talent.
Right.
So, it's, which is nice.
What I, well, yeah, what I mean is, like, they're not just a bunch of misfits like right. they were, you know, last few years.
Which
what,
is fun.
Whatever
is
happened to Kelly Olynyk? Is he still around?
Kelly Olynyk, I think he plays in Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
No, Miami. Close. close. Same thing. Miami. And I mean, I don't know.
Who's
I,
their sponsor? Miami.
I was gonna make an inappropriate joke. I won't though. So I don't know. It could be you know Goodyear tires for all I'm concerned. I have no idea. So it's not. Although I will say, no. What's the feet that that the Cavs have on the jersey?
Goodyear.
Is it Goodyear mm-hmm. with the foot and the thing? That's pretty dope. It looks cool. You know what I mean? Like it just looks like cool with the. I think at least with the foot and the wing on the foot, it looks pretty cool.
Get rid of them. No place for that in, on my uniforms.
Well, I mean, hey, look, you know, I think this is as much as we need. Okay? I think the one thing there is fine. I don't have a problem with it. But don't be starting what, you know, what the freaking Premier League is doing when, you know, they don't even have the names in their jerseys. It's like, you know, we don't even have...
Well, it's the opposite of what... The NBA does, where instead of the name is a cross, it's a sponsor cross, and then they have the little right. patch where right. the GE patch. It's the team,
which I just hate. Logo. I just to me, it's just like then you buy the jersey and you're not supporting. I feel like when you buy the jersey, then you're not supporting your team. You're supporting whatever brand that is.
Well, you're advertising. You're walking you know? Around advertising,
right? Which that. You know, which you're doing the same thing if you buy a Celtics jersey, but you're more. I feel like you're more cheering for the Celtics than you are for GE. Right, I mean, yes, yeah. you're it's, advertising GE, but at the same time, you're more Celtics than you are GE.
It's just a distraction. You know? That's all it is. That's what I hate about sports today. And I know I rant like an old man about sports today, you but it used to be better. And it used to be better. I was watching a hockey game the other night, and it was on NHL, the NHL Network. So it was like the team's local broadcast. I forget what game it was. But they have, like, digital ads on the glass.
Right.
And it's so distracting.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, baseball do the same thing, right? Where they get the ads behind the guy and they're changing and shit. And you're like, what the hell's going
on? Yeah, but you're used to that. Like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I just have to get used to it. But,
right.
like, the reason that they do it in soccer is because there's no commercials and they make money that way. But I think in the NBA, it's the same amount of commercials. They just want to...
Right, they just want to add revenue. Yeah. Well, and I feel like, you know, anytime you can add, I'd love for them to take commercials off. Look, if they can do that in football and take some commercials away, like, I'd be okay with that. Or not even, you know, maybe not even on the jersey. Put it anywhere. Put it on the field. Put it wherever. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me, you know. I think there's some cool things like, is it football that was doing it? Or basketball? I think it's the Celtics that will do it where they're like, instead of going to a full commercial, they'll do like a split screen where they do a commercial on the right and they'll keep the game on the left.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a timeout, you know what I mean? But they right. won't go to a full commercial break. They'll just do a 15-second ad on the right while they have the game on the mm-hmm. split screen on the left. And that just, what it does is it says, okay, we're not taking a 2-minute commercial break. We're just going to show you a quick 15-second commercial
right.
and then move on from there. You know, and I think that's the way that consumers consume things anyways, right? We go to a website and there's a banner ad. Or, perfect example, if you log into your ESPN sports app, or you say your ESPN fantasy sports app, if you go to like your matchup thing, mm-hmm. they'll show you like a 15-second ad.
Oh, yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, okay, this is it. This is the only time we'll show this to you today, but we're showing it to you today. So what they're doing is they're getting that 15-second ad out of the way. So they're allowing you to kind of... They're basically pulling more money in, right? And we're like, well, that's stupid. But it's 15 seconds. It's like, whatever. Like, I can deal with 15 seconds.
I'll just look away from my phone or whatever. 15 seconds
out. But they do, and that's true, right? I mean, like, so if you check it every day and you go to the matchup every day, then it's 15 seconds a day. And before you know it, it's a minute and then whatever. But if they only do it once a day, it's not the end of the world.
Right,
it's just like... But it's still, you're like, all right, I can deal with 15 seconds. You know what I mean? I can deal with that as opposed to, you know, having stupid pop-ups and all the other crap.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I just don't want it on my you know, sacred Celtics jersey.
Yeah.
Imagine yeah. Bill Russell wearing... Do you think Tommy Heinsohn would wear a jersey with a GE logo on it?
Maybe.
No, I don't want to think about Larry Bird. a GE logo on his jersey.
You know,
never mind that, a Nike jersey too. This is just the beginning. We've opened up a huge Pandora's box. It's just the beginning.
You really are. You are like the Simpsons, where they have like the headline where it's like old man yells at cloud. Yeah, like, that's you. Like,
absolutely.
You, that's who you are.
Someone's gonna be that guy.
I guess.
Bring it back. Yikes. Get rid of it. Knock down this shitty arena. Bring back the old garden.
The old garden was such a shit dump. It was such a dump. It's like, well, look, it's like saying bring back Foxborough Stadium, because I will agree with you that Foxborough Stadium was a significantly better place to watch a game of football. The atmosphere was so much better. The people were crazy. They were loud. It was nonstop energy. But, like, the new stadium, Gillette, is 1,000 times better than Foxborough Stadium ever was. Now, I don't feel like the Garden is 1,000 times better than the new Garden is 1,000 times better than the actual Garden.
It was, yeah. Wait, the new Garden sucks. Yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying to you is I feel like it's not like a big upgrade. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Gillette is an upgrade at least, whereas like the Garden is almost like, you know, they built it in the 90s and it's like, oh, it's just a cookie cutter stupid stadium.
Right? They're still making arenas like that.
It's not even like a state of the art place, right? At least if it were a state of the art place, you could talk yourself into it. Say, okay, you know, they got some cool amenities and some cool things going on, and you know, like freaking Minnesota where they got the huge glass everywhere and shit, and like, you know, like at least you could talk yourself into that. But like the Garden is just like ho hum. It's just the Garden. Like it's the same shit. It's just a fucking new building instead of the old building. It's like, what the hell?
It's
difference
just
make,
there's
you
know? No character to it. I don't know.
Well, there really isn't, and that's
the old Garden had character. Like you could, you know, you watch a game on ESPN Classic, and you know it's at the Garden,
right?
You know, and it's just
no, it's true.
I don't know.
It's true. Well, you'll never get it back because. You know,
oh, I'll get it back.
The TD, no, you won't.
I'll become king of sports.
The TD,
someday.
Oh yeah, right. But the TD Garden, right, or whatever the freight they call it, is like, you know, it's blah. But they're not going to build a new one anytime soon.
No, I remember reading rumors a while ago that the Bruins would like lease a new arena somewhere in Boston,
which would be
cool, I guess. But
yeah,
it's a pain in the ass getting the one arena.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go to two.
No, hell no. And so, but it would be kind of cool because if they did have a different arena, then you could theoretically have a Bruins game and a Celtics game on the same night, which would be interesting. You know?
The same exact time.
Same exact time.
That'd be crazy.
Right? Which would be wild, right? I mean, sometimes they have the day-night doubleheader, which is wild, right?
Next week,
I
think.
Do that?
Yeah.
You get the guys like flying around trying to put everything together and stuff, and it's like, you know, but...
That's on my sports bucket list.
To do a double,
yeah,
that'd be so sick. That'd be really cool. So,
yeah,
we should do it and document it for the podcast.
Mm.
Yeah, we can even you know, we'll just send the bill to Joe. Say like, hey, we'll expense this. You know, you can pay for it. So, but anyways, you know, one thing I wanted to say about Kyrie, which I thought was interesting, just getting back to the actual Celtics instead of bitching about stadiums.
Sorry,
that's okay.
It's a subject for me.
It's just the way... I mean, when you deal with Mike, you have to understand that he's going to complain about a lot of things that no one has ever thought about before and no one ever thinks about. And that's okay. It's part of your charm.
I've had a lot of free time in my life.
Yes, exactly. That's
true. This is my outlet.
So, but one of the things about Kyrie that I think is interesting, and a lot of people were concerned and put me on that list as well, you know, were concerned about how he'd play with other players, you know, how he would be being the guy, right? And there were times where he would just dribble and dribble and dribble to nowhere on the Cavs last year, right? And and I saw, so last night's game against the Nets, I was a little concerned, like towards the end of the game, he's just dribbling and dribbling, and he made some unbelievable plays. But there were a few plays towards the end of the game where I'm like, why just stop dribbling? Just pass it to someone else, right? And so, but it's few and far between. Those moments have been very few and far between. He's been a great facilitator. He takes his shots when he has them. He creates his shots when he has them. But he creates a ton of shots for a lot of different players, and he's done really well. But I think to me, the thing that stuck out to me the most has been the way he's interacted with the press and with the media, which I'm really surprised about. I wasn't sure exactly what it was going to be like and what he was going to look like. Mm-hmm. He reminds me, and it's almost like blasphemy to even say it, but he reminds me of like Brady. It's like Brady-esque, really? The way that he interacts with the media. Because if you listen to him talk in the media, never says a good word about himself, ever. I don't think I've ever heard him say a good word about him, ever. Dude, he had a five-point play last week, and they were like, oh, that was crazy, because he hit the three, got fouled, missed the free throw, got the rebound, and hit the layup. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Kyrie, that was a great five-point play, huh? And he's like, well, I could hit my damn free throws. Like, that was his response. Like, yeah. He just... That's what he does. And so he's always deflecting praise off of himself, but then all he does is praise the team. The guys played hard, and we did this, and blah, 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 and other guys are doing that, and we're getting rebounds, we're playing our... It's all about deflecting praise off of him and putting praise onto the rest of the team. And it's subtle. It's not like, you know, he's not over the top with it. He's not like, oh, I sucked and everyone carried. He doesn't go over the top. But if you the next time you listen to him in a press conference, listen to the way he talks and listen to the way that Brady talks when he's talking to the media. And it's very similar, because it's never, I did this or I did that or I did this or I was so great or I was this or I was that. It was, I need to improve on these things, and the team played really well. We worked really hard, blah, 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 all this other stuff. So it's always about deflecting praise and what he needs to work on, and then this is what the team did well. They worked so hard. They did this. They did that. And so it's all about us and we and the team. And the only person he's criticizing is himself. And I think it feels weird to even say Brady-esque, but like it reminds me of the way that Brady interacts with the media.
Yeah, I haven't really heard him talk, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, well, I have when he, you know, said that the Mecca floor was going to break his ankles.
Oh my god! But that's right. I mean, well, that was a little out to lunch. I was like, what are you talking about? But, yeah. So maybe that's not very Brady-esque. But if you listen to him talk about the players after the game and stuff, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I had forgotten about that whole Mecca thing or whatever. But that's what he's... I mean, I just feel like the next time you get a chance... So Thursday night, obviously, you get a chance to listen to him. And if you listen to him post-game, just listen to the way he talks and how, you know, hopefully... Of course, Thursday night, he won't fucking do it. But hopefully, he just continues to deflect praise off himself and kind of heaps praise on the rest of the team. And that's what a leader should do. That's what the leader does. They don't take credit for winning, right? Yeah. The leader doesn't take credit for winning. That's not how it works. The leader pushes everyone else and says, everyone else is doing great, and there are things that I need to work on, because that tells the rest of your team two things. Number one, that you care about them, and it's all about the team together, and I'm not bigger than the team. And also, number two, your best player is saying they need to work on things. So don't you think if they're working on shit that you need to continue to work on shit as well? And so that's kind of, it's kind of like that double message where it's like, you're working really hard. I really appreciate you. And I'm working my ass off. And I know no matter what I do that it's not perfect. So you need to continue to improve as well.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, maybe he learned something from Brady. Maybe he talked to Brady. I don't know. But I've been impressed. So
I mean, it's probably Brad too.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, because look at the way he talks
right.
in the media.
Absolutely. And yeah, you're right. Stevens is the same way. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, Belichick has that same type of thing where he's like, We don't say anything. We deflect, right?
Yeah.
And it's like maybe Stevens is saying the same thing to these guys. Like, look, when you interact with the media, don't be stupid. Don't freaking put yourself in front of the team. Maybe he's saying these things that you should be doing these things. And, you know, you hope so. And if the guys are buying in, then that's – hopefully that'll be the culture, right?
Yeah.
I also think that it's easy to buy into a culture when – you're winning 13 in a row and you're 13-2. Let's see what happens if they lose a few in a row, which hopefully doesn't happen, but it's going. I mean, you've got to think over the course of an 82-game season, you're going to have a 2 or 3 game losing streak in there somewhere. So what's going to happen when they start losing some games? Are they going to stay committed? Are they going to stay with it? Is Kyrie going to continue to be the leader? That's really the question we don't know the answer to yet. And so so we'll see. I guess that's the only thing we can say about that is we'll see what happens. So,
and real quick, it's interesting you compared him to Brady, because after that whole Mecca thing, I was comparing him to David Price. So
you were, that's true.
I don't think you can get more opposite than that.
You really can't. No, you really cannot. He went from David Price to Tom Brady. Yeah. So hey, you know, Kyrie moving up in the world. moving up in the world. So yeah, so huge game. Again, when you listen to it, it might be tomorrow night. It may have been last night. I don't know. But for us, it's Wednesday night, tomorrow night, Thursday night, the 16th. The Celtics are playing the Warriors at home. Should be a massive game. Crazy crowd. It's going to be a lot of fun. So enjoy that game. And
be sure to buy General Electric products.
Right. GE products. Mm-hmm. Make sure you know, got to represent the brand, right? So anyways.
A crummy commercial?
Oh, you know, that's the way it goes. So, all right, let's move into the Patriots because the Patriots are just, it's just not, I just feel like this happens every year with the NFL, doesn't it? Does this happen every year? Like, is it just me or does this happen every year where it's like, Patriots start out and you're like, okay, they got some questions. All right, we don't know how great they're going to do and maybe they're not perfect and blah, blah, blah. And then by the time midseason comes around, the rest of the AFC has shat themselves. The rest of the NFL doesn't look like they can play football anymore. And the Patriots, you know, had all these question marks, and all of a sudden they're playing better than anyone else in the NFL. And it's like, how the fuck did that happen? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it just, this team, this defense was terrible at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're playing really well, and they're gelling, and, you know, it's like, what? Like, how does this? It just doesn't make any sense. And meanwhile, the Bills suck. The Dolphins suck. The Chiefs have fallen off the freaking train. You know, the Steelers are still 7-2, but Jesus Christ, they looked shitty last week against Indy. Like, it's just like these teams, you're just like, really? Like, what's going on with these teams? So, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on, but it just seems like, it just happens every year. It happens to the freaking Patriots. It and really I'll tell does. You what, man. If I wasn't a fan of the Patriots, I would fucking hate the Patriots. Because it'd be like, are you serious again? It finally looks like they're going to suck. And all of a sudden they're 7-2 and better than everyone else. And everyone's falling apart. It's like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of the year that they beat Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Right,
not as bad,
because, of course,
but
right.
You know,
yeah,
you know, they lose to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says, "Oh, they're not going to be that good," and then
right.
they turn things around. But it's pretty wild year so far. The league, been saying it all year that the league isn't that good, but it's a weird year.
It's really bizarre,
like, especially in the NFC. If you look at the standings, you would think that, you know, it should be in reverse.
You would think so, yeah. Right? The Rams are in first place. The Saints are in first place. It's like, what the hell is going on, dude? It's just
Minnesota.
Yeah, it's just really bizarre. Yeah. And, you know, obviously no one could have predicted Rodgers getting hurt. And
right.
Obviously that changes the entire dynamic of the Packers.
Sure. Because
Brett Hundley blows and Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so clearly that changes the Packers. But the Vikings are 7-2 with Case Keenum as their quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, Case Keenum is starting quarterback for the Vikings, and they're 7-2. Like, how the fuck is that happening? It's just, you know, it's a really bizarre year. And you look at the guys, it's so funny because, you know, people, we talked about the GQ Man of the Year, and, you know, people talked about him and about how he was getting blackballed, and they couldn't, you know, he couldn't get a job, and all these shit quarterbacks have gotten jobs over him. And you really just kind of look at it and say, you know, the NFL is pretty, making a pretty clear statement that they don't want the GQ Man of the Year in the league anymore. But I don't know if it's see him. He still can't prove collusion. I don't know. You can't. I don't know how you could prove collusion unless there's actual communication between guys.
They're getting there. That's what they're investigating. Well, right now.
Maybe that's it. Right. Maybe that's it. But I'll tell you what. What's interesting. We talked about this already. They're asking for all these guys' phone records. Mm-hmm. Like, what if Goodell refuses to turn over his phone?
What if he smashes his phone?
Like, how crazy would that, right? I mean, think about that, dude. Because what other choice do you have but to say, well, Goodell must be guilty. Because why would he not turn his phone over? Clearly he's guilty.
Suspend him 4 games.
It's unreal. It's unbelievable. And it's really kind of crazy. But even still, I mean,
you're rooting for that so hard.
Oh, I really am, dude. And I dislike Colin Kaepernick strongly. And I don't care. I am rooting for that so hard for Goodell to be like, I'm not turning my phone over. And I'd be like, Raj, you have to. Like, that's the way it goes. You know? It's just, oh, my God. amazing.
But it's pretty clear that it's collusion, though.
See, I don't know. I just look. Here's the thing. I just feel like from a perspective of an owner, mm-hmm. what does he bring you? He doesn't bring you anything. He brings you a bunch of headaches, is what he brings you. And maybe he's good and maybe he isn't, but who the hell knows how good he is? The last time he played in the NFL, he was eh. He was okay, but he wasn't great. Good numbers last year, but maybe he was, maybe, you know, he was better than the other quarterbacks that have been out there, okay? But is he a sure thing? And is he worth the amount of shit that I am going to get to have him on my team? Like, I just don't know if it's worth that. And so, you know, maybe it's collusion. Maybe they're all saying, maybe there was a memo that went out that said, don't sign Colin Kaepernick. But to me, I just feel like all the owners are looking at it and they're saying, why the hell do I want that guy on my team?
It loses them money if they look at the promotion the league's doing right now with the salute to service.
Right.
You can't have this guy who started the whole anthem protests, you know, be on the field while we're doing this. And it's all money.
Right.
That's what it all – it's an investment. They're not just doing this out of the good of their hearts. They're doing it because they're making money out of it. It's the same thing with the breast cancer
right.
stuff they were doing for years. That's all about money. You know, so they can't – like, they just can't have him there. And that's what it's all about.
Right. You know? And I just think – I think from a – and that's the thing is that from a money standpoint, from a financial standpoint, it doesn't make sense to have him on the team. And it doesn't make sense to have in the league, but it also – but it draws extra attention to your team. And it's attention that's not really wanted. You don't – it's unwanted attention. We'll put it to you that way, right? He's not loved – and people talk about, well, you know, Tebow was this and Tebow was that. Well, I'm sorry. But Tebow still is one of the most loved guys in the entire NFL. People still want Tebow back. It's unbelievable. I mean, people are still like, well, how come Tebow isn't? How come, you know, Tebow could play and Tebow could do this? And it's like, no, he couldn't. Tebow sucked. But people love Tebow. Nobody has ever felt that way about Colin Kaepernick. Nobody. And so I just feel strongly about the fact that, like, he's not helping you out with anything. You know? And so to me, at least, I look at it and say, eh. You know? And look.
But if you look at his numbers last year, he had 16 touchdowns and only 4 picks.
Right. No, he did. He played
fine. Which was the best numbers of his career,
without
really.
A doubt. Yeah,
I
they
mean,
were.
The team went 1-10, but the team sucked.
Right. No, it's true. But, I mean, you know, 59% completion percentage isn't exactly great. Right? And so it's just
right.
like...
but it's an upgrade from the year before when... it was, well, I mean, it's a 2-point upgrade. But you know what right. I mean? It's been pretty consistent with what his career has been.
No, it's true.
He's not an accurate passer. And you look, compare that to other quarterbacks in the league, not everyone's Brady, Pat.
No, and I understand that.
Not everyone has a 95% completion. No,
I mean, I get that, but my point is that if I'm looking at it as an owner, I'm looking at it saying, okay, I'm only going to bring this guy in if he can really help me win. I don't know if this guy can really help me win.
If you look at his numbers and you look at the team's record,
yeah,
okay, that's not his fault.
No, I agree. And I'm
so
not saying it is.
If you're an owner and you're trying to make your team better,
right.
that's why you sign him over Austin Davis or Jay Cutler or, you know.
Well, the Cutler thing is a joke.
Well,
the
yeah,
Cutler
I know.
One's a joke. I mean, that's like, that's fucking ridiculous. I mean, right. I get it's Adam Gase.
Over any other jabroni, you know,
well, I agree,
second string, third string quarterback in the league.
I do agree with that, but I would only, see, it's a situation, it's an interesting situation. Like the Packers were an interesting situation. And even the Texans were in an interesting situation. The Texans would never hire him with McNair as the owner. But
oh,
like,
no way.
But the point is that, like, let's say the Packers, right? The Packers were in an interesting situation because he could actually come in and play. To me, it's not worth it unless he's going to actually play. So, like, Austin Davis was the backup, is the backup for, like, Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who the fuck cares? You just... a backup quarterback is just a backup.
Okay,
like, if Russell Wilson gets hurt, your season's over.
But if you're the Packers, would you rather have Brett Hundley?
Well,
or
and
would
that's
you
my point.
Right?
And so that's my point is that you can make an argument that you'd rather have Colin Kaepernick than Brett Hundley. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, is Colin Kaepernick that much better than Brett Hundley? And
yes.
Maybe. Okay, but is he gonna put it to you this way? Is Colin Kaepernick gonna get you into the playoffs and get you far into the playoffs? Is that gonna happen?
He has a better chance than Brett Hundley.
Maybe he does, right? But I just don't know. I don't know. Maybe is it worth the hit that you're going to take financially and, yes. and you know, and PR wise and whatnot? And so you say yes. Clearly, they said no, right? And that's
right because they don't have a sack.
Wow. You know? I mean, shit. They're owned by
look at the reactions to the players protesting.
Right.
You know, all they're doing is taking a knee and they're protesting the shit that's going on in the world. I don't blame them at all for doing it. You know, they come up with all these excuses where it's losing them money. It's, you know, poor Papa John, that freaking guy.
Well, that's the best. And you know what's so funny about that is that that has nothing to do with the protest. That's a Jerry Jones thing. That's a Jerry Jones being pissed at the commissioner, and he's trying to block the commissioner from getting his thing because he's pissed about the Ezekiel Elliott thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at it and just say, well, is it a coincidence that Jerry Jones owns like 100 franchises of Papa John's?
Does
like,
he really?
Yeah. So he clearly, and it's like, and Domino's, I think Domino's and Pizza, is it Domino's, is it Pizza Hut? Domino's and another pizza chain both do ads with the NFL as well.
Yeah.
And they came out afterwards and were like, huh, it's interesting they're losing money because we're actually up in money. Yeah. And so it's like, is he just like, I mean, part of it is I think he's just lying because, you know, Jerry was like, hey, look, you know, I need you to come out and say something because I really need to get these owners against the commissioner. And so, like, is it really him losing money or is it him just saying that because Jerry wants him to say that? And so, you know, that's an interesting case where he may not actually be losing money at all. He's just saying that because Jerry Jones wants him to say it. But, I mean, look, I think you can argue it both ways. I think, to me at least, from a pure talent perspective, clearly he's better than a lot of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Clearly yeah. he's better than a lot of the quarterbacks that have started a game this year in the NFL. That goes without saying. I think anyone that would argue against that is an idiot. But my point is that I don't think you bring him in and he saves your season. And so to me, I just look at it and say, okay, well, if I'm the Packers, right, and I'm not that I'm out of the playoffs already, but it's going to be awfully difficult for me to make the playoffs at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to freaking bring in a shitstorm with Colin Kaepernick, or I can just put my backup Brett Hundley, and, you know, he's been with the system for a while. We like him as a player. We like him as a person, so we can give him a shot and see what happens. And then we can reevaluate next year and get a better draft pick and whatever. I mean, is it a great plan? No. But you save yourself the PR hit from taking the guy like Kaepernick, and Kaepernick's not going to get you to the championship anyway, so what the hell difference does it make? You know, it's like you're not gaining. So, okay, so instead of finishing 6-10, you finish 8-8. Like, what the hell difference is that? You know, I'd almost rather finish 6-10.
Yeah, but how do you know he doesn't, you know, win the next 7 games, you know, and gets you into the playoffs?
Maybe. But also maybe not. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is that
I think with the Packers and seeing the way Kaepernick's played, no, he's not as accurate as Rodgers, but right. It's a similar style where he can make a play. And, you know, I just think it's a lot of BS from the league.
I mean, it's a possibility.
It's, you know, you'll bring back a guy who, you know, beat up his wife or, you know, might have murdered someone.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But because this guy does a peaceful protest,
right.
Asked advice from someone who was in the military,
right, right,
you know, did it all the right way,
right.
It just so happens that, you know, it's not to get too political, but it's just a bunch of bullshit in my book. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just
no, think, and I think
pardon my French.
No, I but, I think you're right, but I also think at the same time I look at it and just say, you know, yes. But he's been very outspoken about it, I feel like, ever since the season ended. I think that he sees himself being more of a civil rights activist than he does as a football player, which is fine. And that's mm-hmm. If he wants to go down that path, that's totally fine. And that's cool with me and whatever. But I just feel like I don't know if he really wants to. I come back to that same question. Does he really want to play football? I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know if he's ever been on the record saying, you know, I've been looking for a job and I'm waiting for the phone to ring and I don't know why no one's calling me and I'm not. I don't know, right? That no one's had that conversation. No one's had the interview with him. I haven't heard him talk about it at all. I haven't heard anyone interview him, which is weird. It's almost like radio silence from him. But it's just like, if you really wanted to play in the NFL, don't you think, like, there's enough guys in the NFL, he could get a job somewhere? I mean, you think he could probably get a job. Now, I know the media keeps saying he can't get a job, and he can't get a job, and they're blackballing him, and they're colluding against him, and all this other shit. But again, I haven't heard him say anything. And I also...
Well, he filed a grievance against the league. He filed a grievance against the league.
But now, at this point, right, has he tried to play? I guess would be the real question. Like, I don't know if he's really trying to play
if no one's going to give you a chance.
No, I understand that, but I just... I don't know. I just look at it and I'm just curious. It's just out of curiosity for me where I just look at it and I'm like, I just don't know. I don't know how much his heart is into playing. That's all. And maybe it is. Maybe I'm totally off base with that. I'm just curious about that. And I don't know if it really is in his heart to play or if he's filing this grievance basically as a thing to get back at the NFL. Right? And I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, that's just me talking about my ass here. But
he's, like, destroying the league, like, from within. It's insane how the owners are just... Have you ever heard the owners fighting this much during a season?
No.
No.
The owners are just... I mean, the owners are stupid. They're old white guys. They're old rich white guys that are just dumb.
They're all weirdos. Even Kraft's a weirdo. His shoes and his...
Yeah. Ugh. I just feel like, well...
his hair.
And, you know, you listen to some of these guys and you're like, how out of touch can you possibly be?
Took the words out of my mouth. Right? Just out of touch.
But you know what? But at the same time, I mean, these guys are billionaires. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really a surprise that they're out of touch with the real world, I suppose, right? I mean, it's like, you know.
Look at Mark Davis.
They live in a totally different world.
It's completely
Mark Davis is still 12 years old. Like, it's just, you know, like, he never grew up because he's like, what the fuck? Why do I need to grow up? Like, I get $1 billion. What the hell difference does it make to me? You know what would be really cool? If I went and lived in Vegas all year long. And he's like, let's just move my team to Vegas. All right, let's go. It's just like, you know. But that's the world they live in. They don't need to live in the real world. They don't have to understand, you know, the experience that other people experience because they're billionaires. And it doesn't matter. And whether they identify with us or not, whether they sympathize with us or not, or empathize with us or not, or whatever, it doesn't make a difference. We're still going to keep watching. We're still going to do this. We're still going to, you know, people talked about how the numbers are down. And, you know, Felger Maz actually did a pretty good job of taking a little deep dive into that, and they said, I don't know who researched it, but someone was saying that the amount of viewers that are watching has gone up, but the amount of time that they're watching for has gone down. But okay. What I'm interested in, and what I think is the case, is that
that's Red Zone, I think. I mean,
and that's what I was going to say. And they dismissed it. They were like, oh, I'm not, you know, Red Zone's not taking that many people.
The Red Zone's taking a lot of people. Like,
well, that's totally false. Because if the Patriots aren't playing on a 1 o'clock, all I'm doing is watching the Red Zone. I don't give a shit about a regular game. Because why would I sit down and watch a regular game that's not the Patriots? Mm-hmm. I will sit down and watch every single play of the Patriots game because I have time to, number one, and because it's the team that I love. So I'm going to watch every play. But, like, if the Bills and Jets are playing, I'm not going to watch every game, every play. It's like, well, why the hell am I doing that? You know?
And even when you're watching the Patriots, say you flip on the Red Zone, the Patriots might even be on there. It's not like they black out the games that are
on. No, and that's true, right? And again, for me, I wouldn't do that with the Patriots game because I need to watch every play. But some people are doing
even
that,
the more than casual fan who's you know, has fantasy teams and whatnot.
No, it's true. It's true. And you know, you're waiting for that Red Zone. I really feel strongly that when you talk about, because what's interesting is this: the Thursday night game is up, the Sunday night game is up, and the Monday night game is up. What do those three games have in common?
What do you mean it's up? All the ratings.
Ratings are up. What do those three games have in common? What's not playing during those three games?
Other football.
Other football, a.k.a. the Red Zone. Mm-hmm. So the Red Zone, so like, we think it's a coincidence that the Red Zone, right, I think, is taking more viewers. And it just so happens that ratings are down, but ratings are up when the Red Zone's not playing. It just seems like a pretty easy leap for me to say the Red Zone's taking a lot of viewers because it's easy. Because you don't have to pay attention to the whole game.
Right.
They're just showing you, basically just showing you clips of what's going on so you see all the big plays that happen.
Here's an idea. Now, I don't know if this would boost ratings or not.
Yes.
But this is something that NBC does with the Premier League. So the last game, the last day of the season in the Premier League, NBC, which owns, like, you know, USA, CNBC, MSNBC,
yes,
NBC Sports Network, all NBC channels will have a game.
That's wild.
So, because all the games start at the same time, because it's the last day of the season.
Okay.
So they show every single game on all of those channels. Why doesn't the NFL do that on a Sunday when CBS owns, you know, they're part of Turner?
That's true.
Why can't they do that? They do that with March Madness. Why can't they do that with the NFL? And right, if they say, oh, it's because of the DirecTV stuff, how many people have... I don't know anyone who's ever had... Bars do, but like...
My buddy Ryan has DirecTV. Beyond that, I
like,
know
but like that, literally nobody. Does he have the DirecTV football package? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
Okay, yeah. Then he's the only one that I know of.
Right. I mean, there's not many people that right, have it. I mean, I've clearly there are people that have it, right? But I just feel like there's not a ton of people that have it.
No.
I think most people that have that DirecTV package live outside of the area where their favorite team is.
Right.
Right? Okay. So, like, if I moved to Kansas...
Wouldn't that... Yeah.
Right? Like, I would need to get something like that because the Patriots aren't on.
Right, yeah.
Right? But I feel like people around here, if you're a Patriots fan, what the hell are you doing with a DirecTV package? It just doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, but the only thing I'll say about that is that you're not getting the advertisements on your station, right? So, like,
you're getting the same thing.
No, but you're not, though, because this is the thing, right? Now you're giving people a choice, right? You see what I mean? So, like, the 1 o'clock game, it's like, hey, look, this is the game. You want to watch football at 1 o'clock, that's the game you'll watch.
Right.
You don't like it? Too freaking bad. That's the only football on. And so you're not giving them a choice. And by not giving them a choice, anybody that wants to watch football at 1 o'clock is either watching the Red Zone or they're watching that game. Yeah. Now, I think that the Red Zone's taking a lot of those viewers, and the Red Zone viewership is probably way up.
Oh, yeah.
And those numbers are down because the Red Zone is up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you spread it out, then you give people an opportunity to go wherever they want. Now they're flipping channels, and, you know, TV, a commercial comes on, so they flip. And then a commercial comes on there, so they flip there. And then a commercial comes on, they flip. And so it's like...
The networks are happy because they're still getting
viewership. Yeah, but they're not, though, because the ad, I'm telling you, the ad money will go down. I think, at least. In my opinion, I think the ad money overall goes down.
I don't think there's that big of a difference between... Either way, it's the NFL, so, I mean...
No, you're right. You're right.
But I don't think there's a difference between the ads on CBS and there is on TNT or TBS.
Well, maybe. And maybe, you know, maybe the argument is that...
Maybe
well,
TBS.
Well, yes, the... Well, yes, the ads on CBS go down, but then the ads on TNT and TBS go up.
Making up for it.
Right, and so maybe they make up for it. I mean, it's a cool idea. I think if you could pull it off to have all eight games being broadcast live at the same time, would be pretty cool. I mean, if you could flip through and have whatever game on you
Football would own Sunday even more than it does.
100%.
You know, because now everybody can watch, you know, whatever game they want.
Exactly.
And the product's still oversaturated. Thursdays really bug me.
Yeah, Thursdays are weird.
They still bug me. And the fact that the players hate it so much.
Yeah.
You got to do something about that.
Right.
You got to get rid of
it. Well, I agree. I mean, you had Richard Sherman just go out for the year with his Achilles. And I know he had kind of tweaked his Achilles the week before or 2 weeks before. And so the argument is, well, maybe he wasn't totally ready to play. And because he wasn't totally ready to play, that's why his Achilles ruptured.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, you don't know if that's the case or not. But it just seems like it's a quick turnaround for these guys. You know, you listen to them talk and it's like, yeah, they're not really ready to, like, walk straight and really be physically fit until, like, Tuesday. And then they're playing on Thursday? It's just, like, it's a really quick turnaround. So, you know, the Patriots have been very lucky. Ever since the Thursday night games have started, they've been very lucky because they play the Thursday night games early in the season every year, and that's huge, you know? And so for the Patriots, they've lucked out there. But, you know, these guys, I mean, shit, everyone, they're playing Thursday night games every week, right? I mean... Pittsburgh's playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's the middle of the season. It's the end of the season.
Redskins have.
You know, and it's like.
The Redskins and Cowboys both have two in a row.
Right, because they're playing Thursday, right? And then they play. Now, at the very least, it's a Thanksgiving Day game. So you say, okay, Thanksgiving Day, everyone plays Thanksgiving, so we're good. Well, then the next Thursday is a regular week.
Mm-hmm.
right? So at least you have a regular week before that Thursday, right? Which is nice.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not like you got two quick turnarounds in a row. You got one quick turnaround, and then you don't get a super long
You're more rested, but I don't know if you're like prepared like you would be if it was from Sunday to Sunday. Because
what's the difference?
Well, I don't think you can do any like football things on Saturday and Sunday. Sure you can. You can't practice.
Why not?
There are rules.
What? There's no rules you can't practice on Saturday and Sunday. That's ridiculous. No, there isn't. The
ratings are down. We can't have people right. working.
You can practice, but the game's got to be on, you know? Like, I mean, maybe. I don't know. But it just, to me at least, it just seems like at least they have a break where they're not playing. Well, they don't have a short week, 2 weeks in a row. Or they don't have like, what would be worse is if they played on Thursday and Thanksgiving, then they had a game the next Sunday, then they had a game the following Thursday. So then it's like, that would be terrible, right? So at least it's back-to-back where you have that, we have a week, and then you get your nice extra long break between the next game, you know? So,
no one was asking for Thursday games, by the way. It's not like people were like, we want more.
No, it's true. That's true.
We want a Thursday game.
That is very
true. I've never seen, like, a great game on a Thursday.
Yeah. No, well, it's good. Well, I will say, at the beginning of this year, there were a lot of good Thursday night games. There are a lot of good.
But then you have
games. Then you had some really shit games.
Baltimore, Miami,
40-0 against Miami, and yeah, you've had some absolute stinkers. I mean, you had a really crappy game Monday night where Carolina just beat the piss out of. I think it was Miami,
Miami.
But. So, I mean, who knows? But you know, it's just it's one of those things. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening at the end of the year. But I just think. I think Thursdays are here to stay. I don't think there's just going
really
anywhere.
Hope not, because it's just, I don't know. You get sick of football, and I know it's hard to. I never thought I would say that, and it's hard to like.
Yeah, but you know what though? It's not. I think it's so. It's Thursday, and then it's you have Friday, Saturday off. Then it's Sunday, and then Monday, and then you have Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then it's Thursday, and then you have Tuesday.
Every couple of days.
So it's every few days it's football, which to me, I kind of like it. I mean, because then there's a game on. Now, you don't have to watch it. I typically don't sit down and watch an entire Thursday night football game, but I do like having sports on in the background while I'm doing stuff. So I like to be kind of like cleaning or doing the dishes or whatever, and then in the background, the football game's on. So then, like, you know, big play happens, and I can peek my head over and, oh, look at that play or watch the replay or whatever, you know. So, like, I like being able to do that. But I do agree. I'm not going to sit down and watch an entire Thursday night game. And I'm not going to sit down and watch an entire Sunday night game or an entire Monday night game. Unless the Patriots are playing, of course. But, like, beyond that, I'm not going to sit down and watch the whole game. So, but they don't really care about that. They just care that my TV's on. Right? The NFL doesn't give a shit if I'm watching or not.
But they're going
to
give a shit if you know, that's a reason ratings are down,
well, that's
in my
true.
Opinion.
That is true. But like I said, those standalone games, the ratings are actually up on those standalone games. So I really and truly feel like the ratings have a lot to do with the red zone. That's me, at least. Yeah. Personally, that's what I think.
And on the Thursdays, the players' union will get involved. You know?
Maybe.
Whenever the CBA is coming.
Well, I just wonder, though, if the NFL says, okay, we'll get rid of the Thursday night games, but then we're going to 18 with two byes, right? And so do the players care more about playing less games while they're fully rested, or do they care more about you know, whatever? So it's an interesting question, because you
look at
it and
say, public outcry, because people are like starting to like get pissed about the CTE and all that.
Oh, it's true. I mean, but there's nothing you can do about that. Look, the CTE is a CTE. There's nothing you can
do about that. I mean, on paper, you know, it's not a good look to have.
Oh, of course not.
You know, an extra two games.
That's true, but I mean, two games is two games. Like, you know, I mean, it's not.
Yes.
I don't know. It's. I mean, I'm with you on that. Look,
I think the NFL should just take a year off, come back, and everyone will be excited.
That's just
again.
Lunacy. That's just crazy. Just don't show up for a year.
Yeah,
and that's crazy. That's crazy talk right there. Especially with Brady. Listen, after Brady retires, maybe they can do it.
Yeah, when the Patriots are back.
Not when Brady's getting old. Early 90s Patriots, if they suck every year, all right, we'll take a year to kind of, you know, percolate a little bit, figure out what's going on.
I don't
know
how prepared Belichick would be. Oh, they wouldn't lose for 3 years.
So, I don't know how the hell. It was a pretty good tangent we got off on, but we started talking Patriots and what was going on.
That was good. I liked it. It's free form.
Oh, yeah. It was good. I liked it. Kind of like a stream of consciousness there.
Hmm.
But Yes. So one thing. So I will say the Oakland matchup this week scares me a little bit. I think Oakland overall kind of sucks, but they do have two very good receivers. They do have one elite pass rusher and a fairly good defense, like as far as getting after the quarterback. So if they can get after Brady, and if those two receivers can play well, they can give the Patriots a challenge. I don't personally think that's going to happen, but it could. And if they lose on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, whatever the 4:25 game, if they lose Sunday late afternoon, that's going to be why. It's going to be because the Raiders were able to get after the quarterback, and their two receivers were able to win their individual matchups against Gilmore and Butler. So, because I was a little concerned about Butler this week, he didn't look good. I mean, the Patriots. Look, we didn't even talk about Sunday night game because you really didn't have to.
Yeah, it
was
an
absolute blood.
Highlight was the guy in the sidelines drilled in the face.
Still one of the funniest videos.
Best pass of Brock Osweiler's career.
Bro, if you haven't been on our Twitter page to watch that video, you have to watch the slow motion video, because not only did I do a great job filming it, kudos to me, but Tony in the background, dude, just dying laughing. It is the highlight of my night, dude. It was
watched
just
it like 100 times.
But that's the best part, right? We're watching the game. We're watching it with Mike's buddy Tony, and we're watching the game. And he's watching the video of the guy getting hit in the face while we're watching the game. And he's just dying laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing at? And he's got the freaking video on his phone. It's like, it was awesome. So, but that was wild. I mean, that was the best pass he threw all night, probably.
Most accurate. Career.
Yeah, probably. So, but yeah, so we'll see. That was just an absolute bloodbath. I mean, from the Broncos perspective, if I'm the Broncos, I'd be pissed because you get a 3-and-out. The Patriots punt, and then you fumble the fucking punt.
Yeah.
And they score like 3 plays later. So now it's 7-0. Then the Broncos drive right down the field and can't punch it in. So now it's 7-3. And then they return the ensuing kick for a touchdown. And you're like, well, that's the game. Game over. Like, which, by the way, can we just talk about Devontae Booker for just a second there? What the fuck was that guy doing, dude? He caught up to Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis was 6 inches from the freaking sideline. And he dove and pushed him. And didn't get him out of bounds. Like, how is that even possible? He's 6 inches from the sideline, and you pushed him, and you pushed him. He pushed him straight instead of pushing him to the left. All you had to do was just get him off balance a little tiny bit, and he just didn't. It was just, I have never in my life seen anything like that before.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
Right? Like, if you catch the guy, yeah, you push him out of bounds.
It's like science. It's what, right. That's what happens with force.
Right. It's just like, hello. You just, but it's almost
running at
like
that speed, you're supposed to like.
Right. Yeah. Know. It's almost like he just misjudged it. And instead of hitting him from the side, he hit him from the back. And he just pushed him forward instead of pushing him just like a little bit. All you got to do is get one hand on the outside shoulder and push him that way. And that's enough to just throw him off balance a little
momentum,
bit.
Momentum, yeah.
It's just like, it was unbelievable. I just never seen him like that before, but. My goodness. And then I think the ensuing kickoff, he got tackled at the 12.
Yeah.
The same guy. And I was like, oh, Jesus. That wasn't a good sequence for Devontae Booker. But either way. So we'll see. Patriots game should be interesting. We do have a pick of the week this week coming up. You should check that out. Check out our Twitter page tomorrow. We have some breaking news here. Mm. We jettisoned Cousin Evan. We said, he lost 3 out of 4, 3 in a row, 3 out of 4. We're like, 4 out of 5, I'm sorry, 3 in a row, 4 out of 5. We're like, get out. Just see you later. But, we can't trust him with the picks. So we just said, that's it. We're going to just do our own, pick our own picks. And I think, we can announce the Lock of the Week, right, on here. We make a video. I make a video every week, which you should watch because the video is fun and enjoyable. And I make an absolute ass of myself. And that's usually fun to watch. This week, we have Tennessee, actually. Thursday night game, Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Tennessee's +7. That's the pick of the week right there. I think Tennessee is better than people are giving them credit for. And I think Pittsburgh isn't as good as people are giving them credit for. So I think those two things meet. And even if Pittsburgh wins the game, I don't think they win by more than a touchdown. And so I'll take Tennessee +7, on Thursday night. So that's our pick of the week. So, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No.
All right. So, So let's go into this week in sports history. As a matter of fact, it is an all Cleveland this week in sports history.
How about that?
All right. Like so I will go chronologically as we always do. October 16th, 1924.
It's November.
Oh fuck. November. Whoops. November 16th. My bad. November 16th, 1924. I wrote October, but it was actually November. November 16th, 1924. The Chicago. Oh my god. Okay, let's try this again. Start over. And scene. All right. November 16th, 1924. The Cleveland Bulldogs lose to the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. What the fuck teams are these?
Dude, that's real football.
It was real football. Back then, it was a real football.
Didn't care about ratings.
So, and why was this a big deal, you ask? Well, it was a big deal because that loss by Cleveland broke a 31-game unbeaten streak, which is still a record in pro football, by the way. 31 consecutive games won, which is crazy. Patriots, as you know, won 21 straight, which is, you know, we say the current NFL record, but this is like pro football. I mean, technically it wasn't the NFL, but this is the pro football record, 31 unbeaten games. Pretty unbelievable. Mm. And I don't think Cleveland's won a game since. I think that's how it works, right? They haven't won since. That's not true, but you know what I mean. So, and then November, yes, it is November. November 15th, 1970, the expansion Cincinnati Bengals, coached by Paul Brown, beat, you got it, the Cleveland Browns, his old team, which is crazy. He calls it his greatest victory. Now, it was their second win. It was actually the third win of the season. They started 0-1. They lost six in a row. And then they won six in a row. As a matter of fact, the last game was against the Boston Patriots. Huh. You can believe that in 1970. But this is actually the third win of the season. So it was the second game of that six-game win streak. And they ended up losing to the Colts in the playoffs, the Baltimore Colts in the playoffs. And the Baltimore Colts actually went on to win Super Bowl V against the Cowboys. And I think this game had like a weird name to it. I think it was like people look at it as like this terrible game. They call it like a, you know, the sloppy bowl or some crap like that.
Yeah, it was like terrible.
Tons of like missed extra points like and turnovers, and it was a last second field goal. I think the guy's
name that was where the bad luck blues came from for the Cowboys, the blue jerseys, so they were
okay,
yeah.
So that was the bad luck blues. Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, so Jim O'Brien, who was the Colts rookie kicker, kicked a 32-yard field goal with 5 seconds left to go in the game.
Yep, and then he went on to coach the Boston Celtics to the 2002 Eastern Conference Finals.
No, I feel like that might not have been the same guy.
Or was he the BC coach?
No, that's the same guy.
Okay.
But this isn't the same guy.
No, it's Jim O'Brien.
Yes, that's true. Okay, same name. Maybe a different guy. Yeah. Or maybe it was the same guy. Wouldn't that be crazy? If he was like, you know I was the kicker for the Baltimore Colts, but now I'm just going to coach.
He's like,
you know,
so confident.
I'm going to coach basketball.
Coach the Celtics. I don't care.
So, yes. So, actually, in this game, crazy, right? But in this game, they were down 13-6. They scored 10 points in the fourth quarter, and they lost Johnny Unitas in the second quarter. They lost the starting quarterback, Johnny Unitas, in the second quarter. So, pretty crazy. And as a matter of fact, another fun fact for you here, because we're all about the fun facts here. It's the only Super Bowl in Super Bowl history where the MVP award was given to the losing team. The Cowboys linebacker, Chuck Howley, who intercepted 2 passes. And, of course, you know, sacks and tackles weren't even recorded at that point yet. But that's the way it goes. And he was the first non-quarterback to win the MVP award. So, which is kind of crazy. So, but, yeah. So, anyway, so that was this week in sports history. So, also, one more thing before we leave. RotoSurance.com. Make sure you go to RotoSurance.com. Use the promo code WWP. You'll get 20% off. And, dude, RotoSurance, I actually just put in my claim today. I'm playing fantasy football free. You don't understand this, people. I'm playing all 4 of my leagues for free. I'm not paying one single cent on my fantasy football this year because I insured Allen Robinson and he went out the first game of the season. And now I'm going to get all my money back. Like, you literally cannot beat that deal. It is the most ridiculous thing in the entire world. And so, yes, do you have to guess right? Of course you do, right? Do I want you to insure every single player in your team? Well, no. I mean, sure, why not? You could. You wouldn't be better for us, I suppose. But, like, you don't have to insure every player in your team. But if you have multiple teams, like a lot of people do, you should be insuring guys that you have on multiple teams, because then you can basically combine the payments that you're using for each thing. It's a totally separate thing from your league. If you still end up winning your league, you still win the league money, okay? It has nothing to do with that. It's totally separate from it. It's an absolute no-brainer. They're doing DFS right now. Daily Fantasy Sports is covered now by RotoSurance. Like, you can take out policies on guys you have in your Daily Fantasy team, and if he gets hurt that game and misses, I think it's a half, and misses half of the game, then you get your money back. It's like, wow. What are you kidding me? Like, you can't beat that. And so, you know, RotoSurance, absolutely 100%. You got to do it. Promo code WWP. You get 20% off. And again, it's obviously football, but they're also doing hockey, and they're also doing basketball right now. And when baseball comes back into play, they'll be doing baseball as well. So you absolutely cannot miss that. So a quick shout out to MDOT and Core for the outro music. Again, MDOT is on Instagram and Twitter at MDOT Boston. Okay, and he's also on iTunes and Spotify as well. His newest album, yeah, Ego with the Enemy, is on iTunes. And Core is at Core of EMS, and Core is with a K. So it's K-O-R-E of E-M-S. Okay, we, as always, are on Twitter and on our Twitter, our Twitter handle and our email address are the same. It's Weekend War Pod with no E's. So WKNDWARPOD at gmail.com is our email address. And then at WKNDWARPOD is our Twitter handle. Again, it's just Weekend War Pod with no E's. A lot easier than it sounds. Trust me. I promise. It's not that difficult. Okay? So review us on iTunes, please. Subscribe. You know, subscribe, download, unsubscribe, subscribe again, download again. You know, unsubscribe and then subscribe again. Like, just do it a few times. You know what I mean? Bring the downloads up a little bit. We need the help. Okay? PMT tells you to do that. They get like a million downloads a freaking week. Okay? Like, every episode gets like a million downloads. We don't, you know, we need the help more than they need the help. Okay? So if you're going to unsubscribe and subscribe to someone, don't do it to them. Do it to us. We'd appreciate that. So, but nevertheless, so that's that. Okay? So listen, reach out to us on Twitter, send us an email, or, you know, perhaps, right? You have a story to tell. Maybe, you know, you have a story to tell about a code red that you may or may not have given out. That's a possibility, okay? And I will admit that deep down in places that we don't talk about at dinner parties, we do want you on that wall. We do need you on that wall. And I think, personally, in my personal opinion, I think that we are entitled to the truth. We're entitled to the truth. We can handle the truth, and we will disseminate that truth to our listeners. So send us your messages. We'd appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.